Happy Sabbath, my fellow remembrancers. Greetings from the island of Mindanao and to the scattered brethren around the world, in America, in Africa, in Australia, and here in the Philippines. In my last speaking engagement, I was talking about the road of the Exodus of the Israelites, of where though they went from Goshen in Egypt. We also found where did they travel and passing through the Red Sea, which is the Gulf of Aqaba. Today, we're going to continue to the Israelites' journey to the wilderness where the real Mount Sinai is. We now know that the mainstream Christianity knowledge of the location of Mount Sinai, located in the Sinai Peninsula, which is part of Egypt, does not fit to what the Bible told. It is because it was not supported with Bible facts and artifacts. From my last sermon, we just know that it was Emperor Constantine, under the influence of his mother, Queen Helena, moved the Roman Empire under the Christian rule, influenced by pagan religions and cultures of idolatry. The queen built monuments around sacred places of the Bible. One of such places was purportedly the site of the burning bush and the location of Mount Sinai. Though she never set foot in the land, she claimed that Mount Sinai was in the Egyptian peninsula. No one dared to question the queen for hundreds of years, and as a result, this became the traditional site of Sinai Peninsula. I would like just to share the screen. What this screen? Can you see this? So, according to them, this is the traditional Mount Sinai, which is located in Egypt Peninsula, and the other picture also is the St. Catherine Monastery, which also at the background is also the alleged Mount Sinai. I will also show you where this actual location of Mount Sinai. Just have to share also the other screen. This one. Can you see this? This is the location of this one here is Egypt. And the mainstream location of Mount Sinai is in this location. We're going to zoom it. It's been in the middle of the Mount Sinai. So this is it. That's the location. And there is also a 3D view of the, this is the 3D view of the St. Catherine Monastery. St. Catherine Monastery is an Greek Orthodox monastery situated in Mount Sinai, more than 5,000 feet or 1,500 meters above sea level in a narrow valley north of Mount Musa in the Sinai Peninsula. When it was built, according to Britannica, founded in 527 by the Byzantine Emperor Justinian I, the building of the monastery dates from 530 CE, when Justinian, after complaints of robber incursions from the hermit monks who had settled there, fortified the traditional site of the burning bush observed by Moses on the lower slopes of the Mount of Sinai. During the 7th century, the monastery provided a center of refuge for scattered communities of Christians threatened by the rise of Islam. Spared by the Muslims, the monks, according to tradition, conciliated the invaders by erecting the small mosque within the walls where local Bedouin Arabs still worship. The monastery was a pilgrimage center during the Middle Ages. St. Catherine's still retains much of its original appearance and has had an unbroken history since the 6th century. The original gray granite walls, which is 280 by 250 feet, still stand, and so does the church dedicated to the Virgin Mary, which was built at the same time. In the apse is a restored mosaic of the Transfiguration, also dating from the early Byzantine period. By the way, I do not know what is this Byzantine, and I just found out that this Byzantine is the ancient name of Constantinople, and which as today it's modern day Istanbul. To continue our quest for the real location of Mount Sinai, I would like to read from an article originally published in a newsletter dated January 1984 by Ron Wyatt. Ron Wyatt was among the modern-day archaeologists aka Indiana Jones in movies, was the first to prove the location of Mount Sinai. After he proved the true location of the Red Sea crossing, of which was the my topic of the last sermon. By the way, to give you a glimpse what we have just talking about in my last sermon, this is the Red Sea crossing, the Nueva. So this is the Red Sea crossing, and as you can see, red lines. This is now the existing road, and also this is also the route of the Israelites during the Exodus. So, to continue with, I will start reading from the article. Mount Sinai, where was it? I begin. If we go to the Bible, the location of Mount Sinai is not that difficult to ascertain. When God first spoke to Moses regarding the great work of leading the people out of their Egyptian bondage, He told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, "Certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." To find out exactly where Moses was when this conversation took place we need to go to the beginning of chapter 3. So in verse 1, Exodus 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. This conversation took place at the end, at the foot of the mountain of God. Quote, Moses was even told to remove his shoes as he was standing was holy ground in verse 5. So we now know that Moses was in Midian, in the backside of the desert, which seems to us to imply that the area opposite the main portion of the desert or the other side of the mountain, which provide the border of the desert. We make this assumption simply because in order to have a backside of the desert, there must be something which marks a separation of the front side and the backside. When Ron studied the biblical account, he noted these references, that the mountain to which Moses was to led the people was in Midian, and that the place where Moses spoke to God in the burning bush was specifically stated to be in the backside of the desert. With this information, along with the discoveries of the chariot parts in the Gulf of Aqaba, he looked for a mountain on the eastern side of the Gulf which fit this description. There was only one candidate in this, in his opinion, and this was Jebel Elos. His flight maps showed this mountain to be in an almost semicircular range with a vast desert area around it, as well as more than enough room for the encampment of perhaps a couple of million people along with their flocks and herds. Not only that, but there was a single large oasis located fairly nearby, an area that could have been the home of his father-in-law, Jethro, and this was the town of Al-Bad. He saw that there was desert area around Jebel Elos between Al-Bad and the highest peak in this mountain range, and that there were valleys in the mountain range which Moses could have led his people flock, taking him to the backside of the desert. Ron was convinced that this mountain had to be the one. So, continuing on, speaking furthermore about the traditional Mount Sinai, the traditional location in the Sinai Peninsula didn't come into being until 2,000 years after the Exodus. The origin of the present monastery of Saint Catherine on the northwest slope of Jebel Musa is traced back to AD 527. When Emperor Justinian established it on the site where Helena, mother of Constantine the Great, had erected a small church 2 centuries earlier. That was from the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, published 1962, page 376. And there's another quote, there is no Jewish tradition of the geographical location of Mount Sinai. It seems that this exact location was obscure already in the time of the monarchy. Unquote. That was from Jewish Encyclopedia, volume 14, page 1599. In 76, 61 to 1767, von Haven, the member of a Danish expedition to the traditional site, wrote, as reported in Arabia Felix, the Danish expedition of 1971 to 1767 by Thorkild Hansen, quote, I have observed earlier that we could not possibly be at Mount Sinai. The monastery of St. Catherine was situated in a narrow valley, which was not even large enough for a medium-sized army to be able to camp in, let alone the 600,000 men that Moses had with him, who together with their wives and children must have come to over 3 million, unquote. The fact is clear that the Sinai Peninsula was always considered to be Egyptian territory. There is an abundance of evidence that the Egyptians controlled the Sinai Peninsula during the time of the Exodus because of their mining operations there. This archaeological evidence is still present and evident today. The peninsula today doesn't even have any population to speak of except those who live around the few oases, many of which today contain the gasoline stations for travelers. Travelers who are going to either to the coast of the Gulf of Aqaba to go to scuba diving, or those visitors who go to the traditional Mount Sinai. In Arabia and the Bible by James Montgomery, we read on page 31, the land west of a line from the Wadi of Egypt to the Elanatic Gulf, Gulf of Aqaba, has always belonged to the Egyptian political sphere. And actually, that is the present boundary of Egypt. The South Arabians call the same region as Misraim or Egypt. Local traditions of Moses and Jethro in Northwest Arabia. But also importantly, the few explorers of this region found the northwest area of Arabia, which is now Midian, to have a vast array of local traditions about Moses and Jethro in the area. As St. John Philby writes of his extensive exploration of the area in his The Land of Midian book on page 222, he said, from here my guide and I climb up the cliff to the visit the circles of Jethro on the summit of Musalia Ridge, from which we climb down quite easily to our camp on the far side. Cairn marked the spot where Jethro is supposed to have prayed, and all around it are numerous circles, unquote. Another traveler, Charles Daughtry, traveled the entire area, and in his chronicles of his journey, he said, quote, travels in Arabia Deserta, unquote. He writes of tradition among the inhabitants of this northwest Arabian region ancestors that very anciently they occupied all that country about Maan, where also Moses fed the flocks of Jethro, the prophet. So, continuing on this article, later in this issue, you will learn that when Ron was at Jebel El-Los in 1985 with Dave Fassel, they were told that this mountain is even today known to the inhabitants of the region as Jebel Musa, or the mountain of Moses. Further on, Philby's investigation of the Jebel El-Los, the alleged real Mount Sinai. If we continue with Philby's account as left of above, he writes from here, the ridge which had the circles of Jethro had a magnificent view of the whole of the Midian mountain range, with Los and its sister peaks in the northeast and Magla, very little north of the east, with the valley of Al-Numair separating the latter from the low ridge of Al-Mara, extending from east to southeast, where the two peaks of Horeb stood out in front of the range of Suhud. So he's talking about the surrounding mountains. The spot that held in my imagination, continuing in his account, was the smooth, double-headed granite boss of Horeb, an obvious candidate for identification with the Mount Horeb of the Exodus, the only candidate for the honor to which can claim to have preserved the name. According to Hasbala, the name Horeb applies primarily to the wadi, or canyon, which he calls the mountain itself Al-Manifa, which simply means lofty. Bible commentaries on Midian and Sinai. All these quotes only confirm that in the last century, men were led to investigate the evidences of the true site of Mount Sinai, because the traditional site simply did not fit the biblical description. For some reason, many biblical scholars simply ignored the biblical fact that Mount Sinai was in Midian. A quick check in the several Bible commentaries shows that the location of Midian is pretty much accepted as being in Saudi Arabia. Midian, a son of Abraham and Keturah, recorded in Genesis 25 and in Chronicles, was a progenitor of the Midianites or Arabians, dwelling principally in the desert north of the peninsula of Arabia. Southwards, they extended along the eastern shore of the Gulf of Aili, or what is now known Gulf of Aqaba. Smith's Bible Dictionary under Midian, however, in this same book, under Mount Sinai, we find the traditional location of the Sinai Peninsula given. By the way, from the Google Earth, if you can see my mouse, that is the Red Sea crossing, and they are talking about this area here, this area here. Later on my future speaking engagement, I will talk in detail about this area here. So, remember Paul's reference to Mount Sinai in Galatians 4, verse 25. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is in bondage with her children. Peake's commentary on the Bible noticed it, as Paul's entire passage here is explained. Their mothers likewise represent the two dispensation. Agar represents that the given on Mount Sinai, and Paul notes in passing the appropriateness of the fact that Mount Sinai is in Arabia, the land to which Hagar took her son. We have numerous commentaries which locate Midian in Saudi Arabia, but few which locate Sinai there. Why? In our opinion, God allowed the true location to remain unknown until He saw fit to reveal it. If we carefully study the biblical evidences which archaeology has revealed, we will see that the vast majority of these came to light beginning in the 1800s, the time in Earth's history in which these things could be presented to the world in publications and books. Had they been known for any length of time, there would be no evidences left. On my next speaking assignment, we are going to examine the evidences left by the Israelites as they wander in the desert and the detailed illustration of the real Mount Sinai. And my because I have just to allocate my sermon time, I will just have to end my sermon here. And happy Sabbath, my fellow remembrancers.